Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're here to encourage you this morning, to inspire you, and to tell you that God does speak. God has something to say to us, His people, and if we will listen, God will restore our hope, our land, our the church. And joining me to encourage you this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, John. Also joining us is the producer of VFN Radio and VFN TV, here with the Ed McMahon of VFN Radio, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We'll give a shout out this morning to Eddie. I'm looking forward to hear how the insanity's going, man. I can't wait to tell you what's taking place on this end, man. God has just really, really blessed me. Give a shout out this morning, Sophia. God bless you for standing with us at VFN Radio, helping to fill the virtual stadium with 20 new seats. We're going to preach to them, baby. We're going to tell them. We're going to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Give a shout out this morning to Okinawa, to the Shepherd family, just to let you know we're praying for you, man, with this typhoon that tried to come through there, that God will protect you and keep you safe and bring you home, man. Give a shout out to our new listeners, Helen. Good morning, Helen. We're so glad to have you joining us. Deborah and Roy and Donna, oh my goodness. We just love new listeners joining us in the virtual stadium that we believe is going to fill stadiums around the nation and the world for the glory of God, for the returning of our Lord in the spirit of Elijah, crying out to our Lord and Savior, come, Lord Jesus, come. Give a thank you this morning to all of our supporters who stand with us that make it possible to fill this virtual stadium. And to find out more about that, go to VFNTV.com. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And also joining us this morning is the producer, the smart dude, the one who actually knows how to put it all together, or it's his fault.
That's right.
Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We call him what, the Ed McMahon.
That's right.
That's right. It just doesn't work without Ed, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, it
and doesn't. There's one thing you can say about, well, there's a lot of things you can say about Pat, you know, and he's an awesome dude. That he doesn't just say yes to or I agree unless he does. And that's the Lord right. says, you know, we've walked this journey together. We've been together. Uh-huh. I mean, the future is plastics, right?
Yeah.
I said years ago, plastics is the future. <You know? laughs> And when we met years ago with stucco in his hair and his fingers stretched out longer than they used to be because carrying 5 gallon.
Yeah.
You think it was.
They've come back, though.
Yeah, but you think it would have straightened the other one. Okay. Anyway, so the.
We won't talk about that.
Right. I found out that his finger that, you know, stands both watches is, it has feeling, man. It has feeling.
It does.
Yeah,
yes.
We were preparing for the hurricane. You know, we have Hurricane Laughter. I mean, Hurricane Isaac, you know, blowing on us today and throughout the day. And he was, I don't know. I think he was just kind of laying back in the hammock or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a fly, like a horse fly or something. What happened? Mm-hmm. What happened?
I was putting up hurricane shutters.
Oh, hurricane shutters. That's right.
And I stirred up a hornet's nest.
I thought, isn't that interesting? Think of how prophetic is that.
Yeah.
Is that prophetic or what?
Yeah.
This I was hurricane
messing with the hornets.
I didn't know they were there.
This hurricane really prophetically is what we've been talking about this week.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, does God speak that it's going to stir up a hornet's nest? I think it was very prophetic. You know, so as we saw him running down the street. I was like, this is a sign. This is a sign.
So were you bold, Pat? Were you bold?
Was I bold?
I got bit.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, you got bit on the finger that stands both watches. I wouldn't think it had feeling, man. It had lots of feeling.
Yeah, it had feeling for several days, actually.
Feeling for several days. You know, and...
It's alive.
It's alive. It's alive.
I thought about you yesterday.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Yeah. Oh, Pat?
No, you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, wow. Yeah,
you didn't think about me?
Well, you know, Greg's trying to lose all this weight, you know.
Yes,
she's
thank
on this, you,
you
know.
Thank
and you. So Teresa is the woman God gave me. You know, she needed to go pick up something, and so we happened to stop at this bakery that I took you to.
Oh, wow.
And I saw this cannoli.
Oh, actually, the bakery with the wet cake that was like we got shot at a daycare or whatever it was.
Talk about that bakery.
Yeah. You don't wear flip flops in a high crime zone in Jersey. I'm thinking, like, how do you run? You know, they got this Floridian, you know, sitting here, and we got these kids looking at us like, we're packing, you better get out of here. You know, and it's in your diaper? I mean, come on, how could you be packing? He's like a little small kid. We had to do a 5-point turnaround in a playground in Jersey with flip flops on.
All right.
No.
You should have seen the pay. He goes, oh my gosh, I'm wearing flip flops. I got to change my shoes.
Yeah. What was the lady's name that sold you shoes back when you was little? No, back when you was younger. You was younger. What was her name?
Her name was Home Girl.
Home Girl. Yeah, and he told me about her before we got there.
And he didn't believe me. You should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah, I can't believe you're calling her home girl. Yeah, why would you call her home girl? You know, and of course he goes there.
And we walk in the store, so he's like, "Yeah, right, okay, home girl, that's her name." So I walk in, and she says, "Hey, yo, what's up? What's
she
up?"
She does. She's about 70.
She said, "This is home girl. What's up?
Yeah.
I got some kicks for you. I got some shoes. I got some Louis. What you want?
Yeah, she sure did. She really did. And the second she found out that Home Slice wasn't going to buy nothing, you know, she just shut down, didn't she?
Shut down. It was that or either the fact that you pulled out the phone and tried to record her. Home girl.
Oh, did I get it on video? That would be really good because people just don't believe that was.
That was funny.
That was a moment. And then, of course, then we're trying to... you know, bust out of there with flip-flops on. And right in front of us is like, you know, bad boys, what you going to do? Remember that? Right in front of us, you have the Jersey police that are like drawing down on this car in front of us. And I'm not driving. John's driving, you know, so we're lost. This GPS is stolen. And so here we are right in front of us. There's no way to get around. We're literally right in front of a takedown, right? It was a takedown in front of us. I mean, it looked like what's that? Cops, the show Cops.
Yeah.
You know, we should have just turned on the music in the car and watched it. It would have been like, an early.
He's like, back up.
Yeah, back up. Because, right? You know, when you start shooting, but you now know at the Empire, when they start shooting,
man.
You know, it's not just the bad guys' bullets that hit things.
That's right.
You know, and so he's like getting closer. You know, the worst thing in the world is to be in a circle with having a gunfight. You know, I mean, I'll never forget that. I was hunting once and the...
You hunted?
Yeah, that was once. You
really?
Once.
Yes, once. I my dad's
and I fished once too, I think. Once.
You never fished?
Oh, I fished.
I remember taking you fishing, teaching you how to catch mullet. Remember that? We're not going to bring up how we caught them, but we caught a lot. Remember how they were just, you know, there's nothing like a stick of dynamite. No, that's not true. There was no dynamite, but anyway, we caught a lot. So many, they were just jumping all over the place. And we caught so many, it was like we cleaned for days.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
For days. And we were explaining, you know, to John, this is a fin. This is a fish's mouth. And, you know, we've been fishers for quite some time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So here we are. We have Hurricane. I want to give you, by the way, Steve Kalaszewski will be joining us tomorrow on VFN Radio.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
I'm very excited about having him on. You know, God has laid something on his heart. I can't wait. You know, God speaks.
Yes.
You know, God does speak, and it's so important to know that. And And, you know, when you know that God speaks, it puts the fear of God in you, knowing that I'm not going to say nothing but what God says. Because if you start saying something, if you know that God speaks and you don't, you speak something, you say it's God and it's not God, you know, God's going to speak up. And so God speaks. When he speaks, you're aware, you're just totally aware that, you know, God's going to correct things, you know. And he, and it's not like he doesn't speak if you don't believe he doesn't speak. You just don't realize he's correcting you.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that, we find out that, you know, my goodness, you know, the Lord speaks clearly. I mean, he is speaking volumes. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, go to VFN TV and watch, you know, Our God Speaks. It's we're making it available today, as a matter of fact. We will have on... You know, on the VFN Torch, you can get to it at VFNTV.com. But some of the things that God's speaking about will be made available from yesterday's broadcast. But one of them is, you know, very specifically, we don't know how to title this particular segment of broadcast anything other than what God has shown several of us across the nation is Islam has a plan to kill our president. Mm-hmm. And God has revealed that to us. And so we have to pray against that. This is an evil strategy of the enemy with a goal to destroy our nation, but destroy our president. And that's not right. God's will. And I hear Christians today saying things about our president, about a human being, right. that it's not a God thing to say. You don't, it's not a God thing to say. And this argument for America is not about money. It's about sin. Mm-hmm. It's not about jobs. Jobs come from a God who blesses the work of our hands when we turn our hearts to him. But when we forget about him, he takes jobs away from us. So the answer to the job problem is dealing with the sin problem.
Yep.
And what we talk about, and you got to hear this thing because it's true. I mean, God said it. We believe it, but we also believe this, that if we pray, then God will stop the plans of the enemy. You know, stop the plan. We're just going to deliver what God is saying to us. And you can see that on the VFN Torch today. You'll be able to have it probably really, really soon, probably around noonish Central Time, 1 p.m. possibly. You know, is Israel has Israel. You know, Israel's struggling for their existence right now. You know, and I think, you know, some of the instrumental parts of that is that our president's fixing to go to Israel trying to make a political stand. And at the same time, you can't, you know, you just can't fool God. And that's the worst thing you could do to Islam is to go, you know, talk positively about Israel because they say they're not an enemy of Christians in Israel, but they are. Mm-hmm. Now, it's written in the Quran, and if it's important just to read it. That's why the first one was printed in English in America by one of our presidents, so we can actually read what it says and understand what's going on. But it's entitled, you know, Islam has a plan to kill our president. This is what God is saying to us. Mm-hmm. And the reason why God's revealing it to us, not so we can say, hey, I knew this, is so we can pray and stop it, because it's not God's will. We've been praying protection over him now for what? For 3.5, 4 years since God's been revealing these different things to us and his family, you know, his marriage and his kids and you know, God save the king, God save our president, you know, and we're praying about that. And there's something, we are the answer to his safety by us doing what's right before God, and God turns because God directs the king's heart or the leader's hearts like a water course. I mean, he can change it when we change ourselves. Also, you know, another particular article that's going to be available today is Muslims and Mormons have more are more faithful to give to their and I don't know if it should be spelled out there, but I'm kind of looking at it, but given to their
religion
than the Christians are to give into their God. And into that alone, if 95%, 97%, according to George Bonner, are robbing God of his tithes and offerings, but yet... When you have Islam saying, you know, if you want to be right with their God, you have to give, you know, your alms and the different things to them. And Mormonism says you can't even make it to the third celestial heaven if you don't, you know, get, you know, give your tithes or whatever they call it. Right. And the church only has 3% of God's stuff to be able to do what we got to do just through osmosis alone. You know, we find out, you know, and I was listening to that this morning on the loop, and that's why I'm a little late coming to the studio. I'm like, man, oh my goodness, you know, I was like, oh, you've got to hear this. You totally got to hear. We're excited about, we're in, you know, some forming stages to make things more easier for you to be able to find segments, to be able to find previous programs. And, you know, not right now you have a program, for example. Now the highlights you have real detailed. You can always go to the VFN Torch and find a quick highlight by just typing in a keyword and it comes up. But our programs right now are pretty general, but we have descriptions that we're going to make available for each of those so you can determine and differentiate between those particular programs so you can hear the entire program. But also, as you know, we're talking about Let's Fill the Stadium, you know, that's such an important segment that'll be made available today so that you can understand this is a virtual stadium where, you know, Billy Graham filled a stadium. It took him about a year or so to fill this one stadium. We preached the gospel once and got great results. Well, we're filling this virtual stadium with the VFN TV and the VFN radio program that will fill eventually natural stadiums, but we have to fill this stadium first. And what we found out with, based on what we're presently seeing, that $1 of sharing with the 1/6 of the world's population almost in the social media realm, they come to us and download our app, or they actually go to us and like us on our Facebook. And once they like us, every single day, every single broadcast, every single highlight, everything that we're saying is going into their lives on a daily basis, which means we're not only preaching once, like Reverend Billy Graham in this virtual stadium, but we're preaching every single day. And it's authentic. You know, we're not talking about, and then, we're like, listen, right now there's a storm. The storm's name's Isaac, and Isaac means laughter, and this is connecting with what God is saying, and we're telling you very specifically, you know, what God is laying on our heart, a now word of what's happening. And then we even talk about, you know, God cares about the poor. We got to find out what God, I mean, this is a very key element, not only personal repentance, but just understanding. We got to re-understand, you know, God's original intent, how we as his creation should respond to people who are less fortunate, people who are poor, people who just happen to be born in a different culture than you. And that Lazarus and the rich man were the very same people in God's eyes, but yet both of them had two different outcomes because one thought they were better than the other because they had more stuff than the other. And the reality is that the reason why one has is so they can share with others who don't have. And it's not, so there's it's just, so form of justice. You hear people talking about, hey, you know, this justice movement, you know, just forget about what men think about it. God's just God. You know, and if we won't do what he wants us to do by choice, he will do what he wants us to do by force, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, and in that also, you find out about the prophetic, and it's available right now, I believe, it will be today, is Hurricane Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, I don't think I got a chance to even share this yesterday, but I want to share it right now. That, did I share about when I was in the sabbatical and I saw the thin tornado? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I really believe right now as everybody's looking at this hurricane, tropical storm named Laughter, and the whole nation's looking just like God showed me they would, and they're just focusing on it, and it's no threat, you know, they're kind of like, you know, it's just no threat. That's exactly what he showed me, that it would be something really small, really thin, but while America was watching it, they're watching it, all of a sudden the entire sky falls, boom! And something's about to happen. And today we're going to play for you a prophetic dream that came from somebody. What part of Florida were they in when this happened, or when they were talking about it? Where the manatees are?
They were in around St. Augustine.
Around St. Augustine, Florida. And this is what God's been saying to us. You can go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, and you can just type in the word guy, G-U-Y, and mask. That instead of trying to spell Fox, because Fox is F-A-W-K-E-S.
Or O-W-S.
Or O-W-S, which is Occupy Wall Street, O-W-S. And, you know, God's already been speaking to us about this. But you're going to find out that God's speaking to several about this. I mean, it's just a crescendo. And this is what this is what Joseph told Pharaoh. Joseph said, listen, because God said it twice. Because God said it twice. And it was a dream, right? God spoke to the Pharaoh in a dream. He says, because he said it twice, it's a done deal. Well, let me tell you something. I mean, God said it way more than twice.
That's right.
He said it very distinctly, and things are about to happen, but it's minimum force necessary to get the church to repent. So no matter what happens to anything, no matter what it looks like, God's wanting us to go, you're right, God.
Yeah.
I'm wrong, you know. The only one good is you, God, and I've sinned and I've fallen short. That is us calling out for mercy. You know, and that's all he wants. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you and me. And so and he's going to have it. And it's jealous love. And jealous love is, you know, even our laws of our land understands jealous, used to, they're changing them now, understands jealous love, because you have a regular, you know, crime scene that happens because somebody did whatever. But then you have a jealous, you can tell a jealous crime scene. Because a jealous crime scene, there's not just one blow. There's not just, you know, one simple mistake. Something happens and somebody's hurt, somebody's robbed. But you just see just great turmoil that happened in that crime scene. And what it is that it wasn't the person was wanting to harm somebody, but they were so hurt in their jealous rage, the very one that they loved, end up having fatal consequences. Right. And people can say what they want to, that when a hurricane came, for example, let me tell you what we heard when we were in Mississippi during the time of recovery, and we were helping them out, and the people that stayed in their homes during that time, and I'm not talking about Hurricane Isaac, I'm talking about what's coming after that, is they said that it's too late. This is, listen to the radio program. They said, it's too late for you to evacuate. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to write your social security number on your one arm, and we want you to write your name on your other arm, and we want you to write your social security number on one leg and write in big, bold letters and write your name on your other leg. And what they're wanting to do is to identify the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to a point where men can't help you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and bodies did. I mean, there was amazing the things that happened and the storms and... And what we're about to share with you in just a moment, you got to hear this so that we want you to know it. We want you to know it and realize we're sharing this with you not so you can, you know, be afraid. That's not the goal. It's so we can actually say, God, we're hearing you. We can respond to this.
Right.
So I'm going to play right now. This is Tracy sharing, as she's hearing somebody else's. She's reporting about somebody else's, which lines up with, you know, what she heard, and you're going to hear all the way through. It's about almost 3 minutes, and you got to hear this thing because it lines up exactly with what we've been talking about with Guy Fawkes.
Earlier this year, I had a dream, a prophetic dream, that involved the Guy Fawkes mask, and this last week, I was actually on vacation with my aunt, and she had another dream. She had a prophetic dream as well. She said she normally doesn't remember her dreams, but this one was so unusual that she remembered it. And the thing that was very interesting to me was that in the dream, in my aunt's dream, the people were also wearing the Guy Fawkes mask. So my aunt's dream begins when her husband was taking their dog up to a rural Alabama property that they have, about mid-Alabama, and apparently the dog got out of the house, got loose, and got lost, and my aunt had to go up to Alabama to try and find the dog. So when she got there, she decided to first go to the next-door neighbor's house to check to see if they had seen the dog. And when she went to their house and knocked on the door, the person that answered, there seemed to be just a ton of people in the house, people that she didn't really know. But the strange thing was that they were all wearing a mask, like a latex type of mask. I don't think she recognized it as a Guy Fawkes mask, but it sounded very much like the type of mask that I had in my dream. And she asked this neighbor if he had seen her dog, and the neighbor told her that if he had seen the dog, then he would have put it in a pen in his backyard. And he told her to go around and look in the backyard for the dog. He said that he had been collecting dogs and fattening them up, which, you know, led her to believe that they were possibly being fattened up to eat. So she went around to the back of the house, and there was a large pen back there just filled with thousands of dogs. And she didn't know how she was going to find her dog in all of those, when suddenly she looked over her shoulder and there was a wall of water coming in like a flood, and the whole county flooded, and it was just mass pandemonium, and there was cars floating everywhere, and she was trying to get her head above the water to, you know, to breathe, and she just knew she wasn't going to find her dog at this point. And it was just that's where the dream ended for her. So it's interesting because it had elements of disaster and it had the Guy Fawkes mask, very much like the dream that I had.
So identically, that's exactly what the Lord was saying to us. Mm-hmm. And here it is now, an unbeliever, if you would, who is hearing the very same thing.
Right.
And it's a different kind of viewpoint in regards to that. That God's warning us. God is warning us that that this tidal wave, this wave of destruction that we keep hearing about over and 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 over again. It's just like nonstop. This tidal wave, and we find out it's like, oh my goodness. You know, the Lord is just saying there's going to be a wave of destruction, but at the same time, there's going to be a wave of God's glory. You know, God's shown us that it's going to be, you know, the best of times and the worst of times. But, you know, he's shown at the very same night, as a matter of fact, that, that you know, God was speaking to me about it, this particular, you know, flood that's coming. He also spoke to my wife at the very same night and gave us two separate viewpoints of the flood. One was coming from the sky and one was coming from the ground. And there's no way to be able to get past this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rick Joyner out of North Carolina Morning Star Ministries, you know, maybe north or south, I forget now. And so, but the very same thing, that this tidal wave is coming. And Amber, my daughter, you know, God's shown her this huge tidal wave that was coming, and it just stopped, and it was kind of stuck there for a moment. And some people, you know, prepared for it. Some people went out just to go look at it. Oh, look at it. And they were kind of like carrying their boats out there and looking at this. I mean, talking about huge. It's kind of hard to explain, but if you look what happened. You know, hundreds of thousands of people lost their life almost instantly,
yeah.
with a wave. And I mean, it very well could be, but I see it as a wave of a spiritual evil wave, you know, and a wave of God's spirit simultaneously. I see the church waking up is what I see, and that, you know, things are going to be great for the church, and great meaning that we're in God's will. You know, mm-hmm. people are coming to him. We're repenting. We're seeing a move of God, and not the American great, but in regards to the church great, because some of the greatest people of all were crucified, were beheaded, mm-hmm. were, you know, hung. And we're just talking about Paul, Jesus, and James. So, hey, come on. I mean, burnt at a stake, you know, for writing out the word of God. I mean, we pray that's not that, but to understand that we're going to get back to understanding that we're not living just for this life. We're living for eternity. And we have a limited amount of time to be able to live our personal life with him. Like 7% of the lifespan of Adam, that's all we have is this vapor to be able to live for God.
Right.
You know, and in that, but I see this coming, and I just feel like that as we're watching laughter, if we're watching, you know, Isaac, you know, and everybody's focusing and talking, and it's going back to Katrina, which means Katrina meant purity.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's going back that we didn't listen to the warning with five hurricanes. You know, in one particular year, that we didn't respond to that. Now it looks like God's saying, because you didn't purify yourself, I'm just going to laugh at your destruction. Mm. But you can see that, not just, you know, I'm going to laugh at your disaster, not destruction. I'm going to laugh at your disaster. I'm going to send a whirlwind. And understand, it's not God giving us, it's not God giving up on us. It's just God allowing hardship, because he says, consider hardship as discipline.
Right.
That I'm treating you, you know, as a son,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that if you didn't get discipline, and every son goes under discipline, he says, you know, you would be considered a bastard, which is having no father at all, is what he says in the King James Version mm-hmm. of the Bible. So God loves us, which means, and with this jealous love, and when you look at the crime scenes, like I'm talking about, you know, from law enforcement perspective, I'm not talking about people that watch movies and these crime programs, right. Like every single channel on television is about right. another murder. So I've seen more crime, you know, on my television, just thumbing mm-hmm. channels, trying to find some place to settle that can just be okay, than I saw with 10 years in law enforcement.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that something? And wow. Every night, you know, the human eye is being filled with all the things Satan loves, crime, and, wow. you know, and all the bad things that. But just watching that over and over again, there's a reason why MSNBC's playing continually what it looks like to be in prison, because the enemy is strategizing. MSNBC is partnered with the spirit of this land right now. They've partnered with the people that are behind the scenes, and very well, they could be the ones behind the scenes, behind the scenes in which our president is partnered with to be able to produce fear. And to, if you're fearful that, hey, you know, if you don't, even though that they're wrong in what they're doing, that they can threaten you, that right. they're going to put you in this place that we've shown you for like 24 months or 36 months behind the bars. I mean, you have more prisoners and criminals that are movie stars, you know, and then we have the movie stars themselves now. It's like people know, oh, and that the guy with his tattoo and the cut and the, you know, and it's like, you shouldn't be watching that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's feeding in to the very thing the adversary wants you to believe. And understand right. this, you know, that it doesn't matter where we are. The epistles, that the letters that were written by, you know, Paul, you know, one third of them were written in prison. Mm-hmm. But understand this, I mean, that's not necessarily the outcome here. But if the enemy threatens that to you and you believe it, then you're going to shut down and you're going to be fearful. And you're not going to respond like God expects you to respond. And you got to stand up. And everything that's right today, there's somebody behind that saying, if you do what's right, you're going to suffer for it.
That's right.
If you do what's right, if you raise your kids right, you're going to pay a huge price for this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you live your marriage right, you might not even have a marriage. You know, if you do what's right with your finances and you do what's right to the best of your ability in your life and your business practices, you're going to suffer for it. You're, you know, and everything, it's like everything that's good is being threatened that you're something bad's going to happen.
Right.
I think that this is what they said in the end times, that everything that they would say, everything that is evil is good, and everything that's good is evil,
good
right?
Is evil. Yeah.
That's a sign of the times, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
And so we can't, we don't have to buy into that. We can say, okay, that means what I'm doing is right because Satan, you call it evil. You know, you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
We'll be right back in a moment.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are out there right now and they're trying and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful. You might be reading about their personal abiding experience today, calling it a devotional. And it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that He has more than enough? He wants a personal, abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have 8-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And they're just it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh my goodness. iabide.org.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of His ways. I want to abide with Him and spend time with Him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the Great Commitment. I want to fulfill the Great Commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together. I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God. How it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
Listen, John, I am totally committed. I have planned out an entire fitness exercise program. I'm really going to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Next year, I am going to start this thing. You know, I said that last year, but next year I can visualize, getting to the place, you know, where Pat is. You know what I'm saying? I could get to that place. You know what I'm saying?
That is a lofty dream of yours.
Yes, yeah, lofty dream.
High.
At least half the size. You know what I'm saying? At least half the size. But I do have a goal next year. Next year, I'm telling you, I'm actually going to move everything off of the treadmill and look at the equipment and pray for a divine encounter.
Best of luck to you.
All right.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton coming to the second part of the first hour. Let me give a shout out to our listeners this morning and say, here we are with you. It looks like maybe we have a little power outage happening down here in the Emerald Coast area, but we heard the word of the Lord. We thank you to all those who are standing with us because we have our own power system to talk to the world.
Amen.
Isn't that cool? We had a little darkness for a moment there, but we said, let there be light. And it says, boom, 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 boom. It came on, you know what I'm saying? And so God is just so cool. I mean, he lets you know God does speak.
Very good.
God does speak. And that's exciting. Listen, and he wants to speak to you. If you have not yet, just like John was just saying, taking time to have an abiding relationship with God. That's you listening to God speak to you and you speaking back to God. Go to iabide.org and request your free plan, free plan today. It comes to you instantly, you know, once you request it, with videos and everything's there for you. But this is what this is all about. I mean, we got some things. We were just shocked that it came a point in time that, and we're on this journey too, and once you're walking in something for a little while, you can forget where you came from and what God's done. And I just want to give praise to God for, bringing us on this journey, and we're still on the journey. And we want to be able for you to go with us on this journey, to go with us, to be able to follow God, into this next experience and understand, even though, it's when God's people begin to cry out, God responds. And it's easier to cry out when you drop something on your toe or a hornet bite stings you, right? It's easier to cry out not when you've lost your job, but when all your money's gone after you lost your job.
There you go.
They're giving you a notice on your door saying this is your last week. And it's easier to cry out, when you're in jail, like the pastor is in Iran right now, and they don't know whether his life's weighing in the balance. It's easier to cry out when you're being falsely accused and you're standing waiting for the jury to come give a verdict, knowing that this whole thing is a false accusation to be able to do you in. Mm-hmm. It's easier to cry out when your ship is wrecked. It's easier to cry out when your marriage is crumbling. It's easy to cry out when your children are just gone, wild. It's easier to cry. But you know what? Why do we have to wait for all that?
That's right.
Why do we have to wait for it? Isaiah 58 talks about how we can begin to restructure ourselves and do what a true fast is before God in prayer and crying out and just begin to just cry out by faith. I mean, even if you don't even feel it, you say, I'm not supposed to cry out and just go, help, help. And you may find out your spirit may just burst forth in this because the enemy may has duped you thinking that you have everything that you need, but you are poor, naked, and blind. You know what I'm saying? And so yeah. God is waiting for us to cry out. And as soon as, Israel cried out when they were in bondage, and why do we have to go to bondage? Why do we have to go to bondage? And in time of oppression and high taxes and all these different things, it's because, and if when they did that, they began to cry out to God. I mean, and they're into all kinds of things, but they're God's people. So God responded to them by raising up someone that would listen to him, that was not perfect, but would listen to him, and that who even stuttered and then that God had to deal with himself, before he could even be used, but used him to go talk to his people and say, listen, follow me. And then God would show himself mighty, to his people and to Pharaoh, and then God would deliver his people. It wasn't for Pharaoh's sake that his heart was being hardened. It wasn't for Pharaoh's sake and the world's sake that, these plagues were coming upon Egypt and the world. That was for God's people's sake because they didn't understand God and that he is all powerful and that he can keep us and spare us. And ultimately, the very last plague was the plague of death. When the spirit of death was going to come across all of the land. But the Lord said this. The Lord said to Moses, he says, I want you to go, and I want you. He told him a very very specific thing. They call the Passover. It's called Passover because death was going to pass over the land. There was going to be great death in the land.
Wasn't going to come to their house.
And if there's a prerequisite, but if. And so with that, there could be a very, at some point, just a huge, and some of the things that God has shown me personally and shown some others, there could be a Passover, of great death. I remember the plague that came to I don't know if it's called the pneumonia,
bubonic plague.
Yeah, bubonic plague that came over. They said, as mysteriously as it came, it went. And so with that, it brought great destruction. There were so many people dying in the world. I don't know, it was maybe 40 million or so, but 100 something thousand just died in November alone of that month during that plague. And people were so toxic that the mailmen wore masks over their faces. Nobody wanted to breathe. Everybody stayed away from everybody, but there wasn't even enough caskets left. The people, but you had to remove the bodies from the house because they were toxic, and everybody would get sick. So they started laying the bodies in the streets. This is in America. This is in the early 1900s when this was taking place. Mm-hmm. And they said, as mysteriously as it came, it went.
Right.
And that there very well could be, a Passover, the coming across the land. I want to encourage you. This is what God did, though. He said, listen, and he told Moses, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go take the youngest lamb that is spotless, that has no damage to it. It's not deformed or anything. It's the perfect, the best of your mm-hmm. litter. And I want you to take it, and I want you to kill it and take the blood.
Right.
And I want you to take that blood, and I want you to go out in front of your house, and I want you to put the blood of that lamb over the threshold and on the threshold of the door, which is like the door jamb that's around your house today. Imagine that, and God's saying, hey, I want you to put the blood over outside like that. So you could see everybody's doorway, would have that blood of the lamb, like God said, put there. And so then this huge plague, if you would, that is going to kill the firstborn of every child there, including Pharaoh's and including God's people, if they didn't obey.
Right.
And it came over the land, and all of a sudden, just like God said, this specific plague that just attacked the firstborn, it killed all these babies. But when the angel of death came and saw the blood that was on the doorposts of the houses,
that listened to God, that were God's people, it passed over. That's what I call it passed over. It passed over those houses.
Wow.
And so they were spared because they obeyed God and they applied the blood to the doorpost of their house. But listen, this is the new covenant. Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm,
there is hope, but you're going to have to listen. God's people had to listen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they had
right.
to. They had to say, listen, we have to understand that there's a sacrifice that's taking place. It's the sacrifice of the Holy Lamb of God. And it's not the doorpost of your natural house, that we are the houses of God. And then if you'll take the blood of Jesus, if you'll repent for your sins and not just throw blood on sin, but say, God, I've sinned, I've fallen short of the glory of God, and I want you to be the Lord of my life, Jesus. And then take that blood will be applied over the doorpost of your heart. And then whatever happens, whatever passes over this land, when God shows himself mighty, understand that it will pass over you.
That's right.
It'll pass over you.
That's right.
Your safety is under the wings of the Lord God Almighty. Your safety is in the arms of God. Your safety is under the blood of Jesus Christ, not the twisted gospel that's being preached today that you can just throw the blood on something and it's automatically right. It's a decision in your heart to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you follow him. And with that, you say, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. And all of a sudden, that blood is on your heart. And you can walk boldly with the shield of faith, which quenches and annihilates all the fiery darts of the evil one. And you can stand strong. But let me tell you something. And it'll pass over you just the way it passed over Israel. It will pass over you. You can hold strong to that if you do what God says. And you have to hear that God speaks and prepare yourself. Yeah, but with that, understand this, that there's stuff that is about to happen on the face of the earth that David Wilkerson, who's gone to be with the Lord right now, describes it as David at Ziklag. And that's when there was so much loss in David's life. There was so much devastation in David's life. David was just obeying God, and everybody just came against David.
Right.
David was one who honored God's anointed and did what was right, but everything came against David, and he was just surviving, you know, and doing what he had to do to be able to survive, to do what God's called him to do, as we talked about before on the program. But on that, they were in the place called Ziklag, and in Ziklag, they left all their belongings, you know, in one place. They left their women and children in that place and left a few men there, and then kind of went to go do battle that they had to do, didn't want to do, but had to do. And then when they came back, they found out that they lost all their stuff and their things and their wives and their children. And then not only that, you know, David, who's just trying to survive and do what, you know, God's told him to do, the very ones that he, the left-handed, broke, busted, disgusted, the people that were not even, you know, valuable at the moment at the time, but they were valuable to God, that he raised them up to get to the place they needed to be. They turned on him.
Right.
And they started saying, it's your fault. You led us out here. You know, it wouldn't be like that. We'd be like everybody else. And then just started turning on him. And so he had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. And he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He remembered the wonders of the Lord. And I encourage you, if you have not yet, take the time to begin to write down the things that God has done in your life. You know, wake up every day with a heart of gratitude and acknowledging God. You know, this is a moment that you're going to need to recall, and what's about to happen, it's going to be like somebody punching you in the gut, you know, your spiritual gut. Like that's what happened to David. And he was just devastated. He cried too. He couldn't cry no more. He was just, you know, totally let out, if you would. And then he realized, I have to remember the wonders of the Lord. I have to remember what God has done. You know, and what I have is a shelf of remembrance, you know, where I get things and stuff to kind of glance at to remember it. You know, I got I got journals, you know, where I'm keeping, you know, the things. And I not only write in my journals, but I tape things like something happens, you know, whatever it is, and that I can, you know, kind of thumb through those and just remember, you know. And you need to get your encouraging yourself in the Lord package together now. I don't know if you have an hour. I don't know if you have a day or a week. But understand this, if you will do this, when you regain your composure, when you regain your strength, when you get your strength back, you know, God's going to lead you, and he's going to restore to you everything that was taken from you, because David
was able to go back and to restore, gather everything that was stolen from them, his wives, his children, his family. I mean, how many people today, you know, you're losing your family, you're losing your marriage, you're losing your business, you're losing everything, and you're like, your spirit's just weeping and weeping and weeping, and it's like, you got to begin to encourage yourself in the Lord, because you're going to have to do something. There's something you're going to have to do to be able to participate in getting that back. You know, I'm just talking to you this morning. I just want to encourage you. I want to prepare you. I don't want you to be shocked. You know, understand that God is speaking. You need to go to VFN TV. You need to watch God. God does speak. You need to watch God does speak. It's 90 minutes recorded, a conference call of ministers around the nation talking about what God is saying that has happened, is happening, and will happen in this nation. And if the church does not turn back to him, this is what's going to happen. You know, and one part of that is a strategy against our very own president, and we have to pray protection over him that this does not take place. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not the will of God for that. He takes pleasure in the death of no one, and that's the enemy doing that. And the enemy's wanting to turn this nation in on itself. It's wanting to take our United States Constitution, which acknowledges all of our rights come from God, that Jesus right. is the Lord of America, and just wad it up and throw it away. And let me tell you, you haven't read your Constitution lately, but if you understand that, if you understand your Constitution, your First Amendment right says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. The second that thing is gone, if it's gone, it's going to be a church state again. It's going to be the way it was when we came from England. You know, when you think about Russia right now, it also says in the First Amendment that we have the right to peacefully assemble no matter where it is and petition the government. We have a right to tell the government, hey, what you're doing is not right. Well, guess what happens? You can no longer gather anymore. Mm. You know, just like it's happening in Russia where Putin's made a law, and you cannot say, hey, this is not right anymore. Do you really want to do away with this Constitution or the Second Amendment? I'm sitting here right now with a coin from the National Rifle Association, and that was just a flicker in our power. We're back up again. And that from the National Rifle Association, because they are the strongest First Amendment, one focused organization probably in the history of America where they focus on the Second Amendment. And it says in the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. And so you think about it, that we have the right to have guns and use those guns to protect ourselves and to protect our nation. That is a right that you have to be able to do that. And so that if that's done away with, what does that mean? They can come and take your guns, which means without being armed, there is no freedom.
That's right.
There is ask the criminals, because they break into homes now. You know, but they know you have no weapons. They're the only ones with weapons, and they'll come in.
Absolutely.
Or you think about this, the Fourth Amendment. How about this one? Do you want to, no, Third Amendment. Do you want to do it with the Third Amendment, which says, no soldier shall, in the time of peace, be quartered in any houses without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. In other words, how it was in the beginning, they could kick your door of your house in, and they could take over your home and all your food and your stuff, and that's a recent law. I mean, America's a new country, and do you want to do away with that? With all of a sudden, you know, two soldiers kicking your door and sit on your couch and, you know, and eat your food and tell you to go outside or fix me something? That's how it'll be. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, how about this one? Do you want to do away with the Fourth Amendment? The Fourth Amendment is this: the right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon the probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place of the search and the person and things that are going to be seized. Realize that they can just take anything, stop you, search your wallet, search your computers, search your bank accounts, search your paperwork. I mean, do you really? How about that one? Do you want to do away with that one? How about that one? How about the Fifth Amendment? Do you want to do away with the Fifth Amendment? This is the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise a crime unless or a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, except in cases rising in the land or naval. Talking about naval type things are going on. nor be deprived of their liberty or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. In other words, they just can't take your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That you cannot be charged of a crime. And that was a summarization of that. And, you know, unless you actually have, you have to be specifically charged, and there has to be due process. Well, that means they can just start telling you you're guilty, and they can take you down. Mm-hmm. You want, how about that? You want to do away with it? How about the, you want to do away with the Fifth Amendment? How about the Sixth Amendment? Well, the Sixth Amendment is, you know, if all, in all criminal prosecutions, an accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. What does that mean? You do away with the Sixth Amendment, they can trial you behind the corner somewhere in some staircase and have you hanging from a noose somewhere, right?
Or so, wait 3 years.
Or wait 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the right to a speedy and public trial, because that way everybody can watch how you're being treated, mm-hmm. and by an impartial jury of the state and district where the crime has actually been committed, so they can't ship you off to some place, you know, where people can't have, you know, empathy for what's going on.
Like what they did in England, they were shipping those people back.
That's exactly right. And on, you know, which of those six do you want to do away with? You know, do you really want to do away with those? It's just those six amendments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, and so understanding that we have to, but it's, we're not going to be able to, if we don't fight for the church and fight for what's right and turning to God, it doesn't matter if we're fighting for God. It's not going to work.
That's right.
But if we will repent and turn our hearts to God, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And just maybe God will give us America back. Maybe God will cause our eyes to look again upon the documents that he's gave our founding fathers. It's just amazed the world, because they can't take over the world, because this thing called the U.S. Constitution is just affecting everybody, because it's been one of the most blessed, powerful economies in the world, because we've acknowledged God in our original founding documents, and the enemy's trying to take down God so they can take down our, take down the acknowledgement of God, mm-hmm. so they can take down our Constitution. But if we, the church, allow them to take down God, realize that, don't think you're going to have your Constitution. If we deny the sovereignty of God, don't think that America is not going to have to give up their sovereignty. Do you think really God's going to let us keep our sovereignty as a country, as a nation, if we say God's not sovereign?
Mm-hmm.
We, as the church, have to stand up and teach this. The people, you know, have been taught other things from the school systems, have been taught other things from the pulpits, that God's not sovereign, that God doesn't speak, and that he's not speaking today. But God does speak. He'll speak to a man clearly, and he'll warn us and turn us away from where the consequences of our behavior are going. You know, what do you want to give up? Do you want to give up the Word of God? Do you want to give up the Bible? Do you want to give up your body and relationship with him? Do you want to give up your Constitution? Do you just want to give up the knowledge of the sovereignty of God? And you're going to give up the sovereignty of your nation? I encourage you, listen, God is warning us, but there's hope. A warning means a shot being fired over the bow of a ship means it didn't hit the ship. It's just saying, hey, listen up, turn. And that's what's being said right now. You got to see God does speak. God does speak in VFN TV. You can get there at VFNTV.com, VFNTV.com. Well, we're coming to the end of our first hour. For those who are not going to be joining us in the extra hour, say, God bless you. Be encouraged. Know that the Lord thy God is speaking. There is hope. When he's speaking, that means there's hope for us to be able to turn back to him. He'll restore us. He'll forgive us. He'll establish a new thing in our hearts. And for those that are sticking with us in the extra hour, we look forward to seeing you on the other side. Don't forget to download our app, VFN TV, or you can go to VFNTV.com and find out all the details there. VFNTV.com. God bless.